The resolution that the United States proposed for post-war Iraq speaks of the U.S. and Britain running that country as occupying powers. And that phrase is not just common-sense descriptive prose. It packs legal consequences, consequences spelt out in international humanitarian law. And here now to help unpack some of those consequences for us is Hurst Hannam of the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University in Medford, Massachusetts. Professor Hannam, broadly speaking, what is an occupying power obliged to do for the people who reside in the country that it's occupying?
Well, whether or not the United Nations designates the U.S. and British as occupying powers, they are, and that is a term that's used in all of the relevant Geneva Conventions. Essentially, the obligation of an occupying power is to protect the civilians of the territory that it's occupying, and I think implicitly at least, an obligation to not conduct the occupation for longer than is necessary, not to benefit from the occupation, to control the government, to remove public officials from their posts where that's necessary, but to do everything with the idea of protecting the interests of the people in that country.
I've read that being an occupying power doesn't necessarily mean taking over from an entire regime, that a platoon that crosses a border and occupies a village has obligations to keep public safety and emergency medicine operating for those people, for example.
That's right. The occupation occurs whenever a piece of the territory is effectively controlled by outside military forces, and they then have obligations to look after particularly relief operations, medical operations, etc. There also is a very specific prohibition against the destruction of any property unless it's necessary for military operations. And when you're talking about property, that would include, in this case, the oil resources of Iraq. And so one question is exactly what the United States and the British can do with those oil resources. There's certainly no question that in the short term, the occupying powers could enter into whatever agreements they wish in order to get the oil flowing again. A different question, I think, will arise if, towards the end of the occupation, there are long-term contracts that essentially have been entered into by the U.S. and the British with a new Iraqi government that might or might not wish to continue those contracts. And I think it's not anticipated under international humanitarian law that the occupying power can effectively bind a subsequent democratically selected government with contracts that they've entered into during the occupation.
It sounds to me a bit, from what little I know of this kind of law, that the paradigm of war that people had in mind sounds like France and Germany fighting yet again over whether the border should move 50 miles east or 50 miles west. It doesn't seem to be about a war aimed at uprooting an odious regime, and that returning to the status quo ante, therefore, in the occupied country is a bad thing because that was a very bad system there.
That's certainly true, and I think the assumption was that the United Nations, through the Security Council, would be the organization through military forces available to it, that never in fact happened, that would deal with these threats to peace and security. Remember, the UN was founded in 1945. The major Geneva Conventions were in 1949 and 1977. And so they were, in effect, premised on precisely what you said, that they were to deal with old-fashioned wars. It's one of the reasons that there is some dispute over exactly what the obligations of Israel should be in the occupied territories, because that sort of indeterminate occupation with total control simply wasn't anything that I think the drafters envisaged.
Professor Hannam, thank you very much for talking with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Hurst Hannam, professor of international law at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. He spoke to us from Medford, Massachusetts.